Seven Seas of History. I did this series, if you like, the Seven Seas of History, about 9 years ago. Can anybody remember? I hope not. The Seven Seas of History. Okay. Ek wil hê al die kleintjies moet ook mooi luister vandag. Almal wat tot by 12 jaar oud is, die 13 jaar plus, hulle hoef nie deel te neem nie. Almal tot en met 12 jaar. We're going to read through basically Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Duan, actually, you quoted something from Proverbs, the last book. We're going to start with the first book in the Bible this morning. Tell me, how many of you know your birthday, your B-day? How many know your B-day? My B-day is 22 October 1966. Your birth date. 28 September 1966. Bradley? Okay. And tell me, Bradley, just quickly, how do you know it's that day? Were you there? There's Bradley. Can you see? On his birthday. We cannot remember our own birthdays, ne? But there was somebody there. At least your mother was there, ne? On that day. And hopefully she wrote it down that day. 28 September 1966. And then my mom did the same thing. Who can remember D-Day? Is anybody old enough to remember D-Day? The last week, it was all in the news about the celebration of D-Day. Jan? Can Jan D-Day onthou? No. Now, of course, we don't remember our birthdays so much. But in other words, we need an eyewitness. There was an eyewitness on your birthday. There was an eyewitness on my birthday. It was either my mother or my father, or somebody took a picture like this one you've got here. And somebody recorded that day. That was an eyewitness. Similarly, 75 years ago, it was the beginning of the end of World War II. Now, how many of you can remember 75 years ago? We can't. But somebody witnessed. Yes. Yeah, that's right. So you were 3 years old. Okay, great stuff. This B-Day, for example, happened on the 7th of June, 1944. 75 years ago. Now, how do we know this? Somebody took a picture. Somebody wrote it down. Somebody recorded this for us. There was an eyewitness. Now, this is an important word to remember. Eyewitness. What is an eyewitness? Who can tell me, what is an ooggetuie of an eyewitness? Een van die jong klomp dalk. Ek wil weet, wat is an eyewitness? Somebody saw something, nee. Saw something happen. An event or an accident or something happened. That's an eyewitness. Now, again, mainly all these information come from eyewitnesses to the events. In other words, people saw it happened, nee. And they wrote it down, they experienced it, and they saw what happened. Unfortunately, sometimes people want to tell what they thought they see. Or sometimes eyewitness only saw a partial portion of the event, not the whole event. Now, what about events that happened long time ago, like thousands of years ago? We've got one person here that's 78. Maybe when he was 3 years old, he could have just remembered missed the first bomb there on D-Day. But 1,000 years ago, who can remember a few thousand years ago? What do we need? We need an eyewitness that always tell the truth, an eyewitness who can never lie, an eyewitness who has been around at least since the beginning of time. Now, who is that eyewitness? God is that eyewitness, ne? God is that eyewitness. Now, what do we call this book in which he recorded what he wants us to know? What do you call this book?
The Bible.
The Bible, yeah. The Bible is our history book of the universe. And God wrote everything down that he wants us to know in this book. We can trust this book because he never lies, and he was there when this all happened. So today we're going to talk about one of the seven seas of history. If you look there, that's creation. We're going to talk about creation today. And hopefully in the future we're going to talk about the corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ when he was born, the cross, what happened on the cross, and then consummation. The seven seas of history. These are seven main events that happened through history, which the Bible tells us and which we're going to talk about. This morning, though, we're just going to talk about creation. What happened in creation, during creation? Everybody say creation. Ja, julle moet bietjie, julle moet deelneem, né? Creation. Unfortunately, there are some people that say we cannot believe that the first few chapters of the Bible, because we're going to read from chapter 1, Genesis 1, verses 1, chapter 1 and 2 from Genesis 1, the first book of the Bible we're going to read this morning. And there are some people that say we cannot believe the first few chapters is actually history. A good question to ask those people is, were you there? Were you there? Will you remember? Were you there? That's what you've got to ask them. However, God was there. God knows what he did. And we can trust him to tell us the truth. So today we're going to learn a bit more about the first 6 days. Now open your Bibles in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. I'm going to read from the NIV. Genesis 1, verses 1. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Right in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Day one. What did God create on day one? The light. He created earth. He created light. And an important thing he also created was the day-night cycle. Day-night cycle. Do you understand what I mean by day-night cycle? I'm going to try and illustrate it for you as well. I think my torch is a bit flow. Let's say this is the earth, ne? Now, important to note is that he didn't create the sun on day one. That only came a few days later. On day one, he created the earth and he created light. Now, let's assume this is the flow torch. But what you need to create a day-night cycle is just a rotating earth. Nah. So the light is from one side and the earth is turning. The earth is spinning. So, and the light is shining from the one side. What that light source is, we don't know. Or was. But the day-night cycle was created by a rotating earth. So on day one, he created the earth, space, and time, day and night, and light. Let's go on to the second day, verse 6. And God said, "Let there be an expanse expanse between the waters to separate the water from the water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. So what did God create on the second day? He created the expanse. Say expanse. Now this was the earth, and there was water on the earth, and there was water in the expanse. Between the waters and the outside and the inside, He created the expanse. Now this expanse is called atmosphere. Atmosphere. This is the oxygen we breathe in. So the first thing He did on this day was to create an expanse. Now this expanse separated the waters above the earth from the waters that were on the earth. This is when He formed the atmosphere. Everybody say atmosphere. The atmosphere is what we need to support life, is what we needed to support life on earth. That is the stuff we breathe, eh? Let's deep breathe. That's your atmosphere you just breathe in. This is the stuff we need to survive, to live. Day 3. Kom ons lees die Psalm vers 9. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seeds in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plant-bearing seeds according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. So on the third day, God created the dry land and all the vegetation as well. The grass, the trees, the fruit trees, everything we can eat as well. So God knew that the animals and the humans He would create later in the week would need something to eat. So He created the plants for them to eat and the fruit for us to enjoy. God was taking care of His creation. He created the atmosphere so we could breathe, and the plants and fruit for us to eat. Okay, let's move on to the next day. Verse 14 in Genesis 1 says, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. So on day 4, God created the sun, and the moon, and all the stars. And again, why did He do this? Why did He do this? For us. Now the sun not only gives light, but it also gives warmth. So like today, we need to stand in the sun because it's cold. And in the sun, it's nice and warm. And the moon gives us light during the night. While the stars marks of signs and seasons, in fact, God not only created the stars, but He also gave them names. Each of the stars in heaven, God gave a name. He says in Isaiah 40. Each of the stars has its own name. Let's move on to the fifth day. I'm going to read from Genesis 20, verse 1, verse 20. Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Day 5, the flying creatures and the sea creatures God created on day 5. What kind of creatures lives in the sea? Tell me, seekat, dinosaurus. What other creatures lives in the sea? Dolfijnen. Haaien. Nog? Jellyfish. Fish. Lots of fish. And in the sky, what kind of birds is flying around? Yeah. What about this creature? Who can tell me the name of this creature? What's the name of this creature? Yes, a plesiosaurus. Plesiosaur. 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 I can't even pronounce the name. But this was an old type of dinosaur that lived in the sea. But God created them on that same day. He created them on day 5. What about this guy? What's his name? Had I all be give you? Yeah. It's a pteranodon. Now these type of flying creatures God also created on that day. This is also a sea creature. We saw the plesiosaurus and we see this dinosaur, flying dinosaur. God created them all on that same day. Not millions of years ago. It lived right along with all the other fish and with all the other dolphins and with all the other birds. These creatures lived. Okay, the sixth day. What happened on day 6? And God said, "The land produce living creatures according to their kind: livestock, creatures that have creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." On day 6, God created the land animals and man. God also created various dinosaur kinds on this day, like this one. What is his name? Say, Vicky Veer? Yeah, Triceratops. Say, Triceratops. God also created the Triceratops on day 6. What about this one? T-Rex, yes. Tyrannosaurus Rex, or T-Rex as we call it. God also created the first person on day 6. Which of course means, and this is important to remember, that humans and dinosaurs lived together from the very beginning. Genesis 2 gives us a bit more detail about the first man and the events of that day. I'm going to read to you from Genesis 2 verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees growing out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Some people even believe that humans came from ape-like creatures. Have you heard that before? Many years ago. But how many of you have a grandfather that looks like this? Het julle oupa wat so lyk? What does the Bible say about Adam? How was Adam formed? Can you remember what I just read? How was Adam formed? Adam was formed from the dust. He was formed from dust, not from an ape-like creature. I'll read from you from verse 15, Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, to all the birds, and to all the beasts in the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper. So there's Adam, and he's giving names to everybody. All the animals, all the land animals. The behemoth, the giraffe, the bear, the kangaroo, the crocodile. He's giving them names. Other people think that the first people were not too clever and did not have many abilities. But what does these verses I just read told us? What did they tell us? He was able to speak right away. He understand when God spoke to him. And he gave names to the animals. And Adam was only one day old. Can you remember when you were one day old? What types of animals did he name? We read the cattle, so he had the skape, the bokke, the beeste, giraffes, the kameelperde, leeuws. Yeah. After Adam finished naming the animals, he realized there was no other creature like him. He says there, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Het niemand. Hy kan nie met 'n T-Rex trou nie. T-Rex het 'n maatjie, die kudu het 'n maatjie, die dodo het 'n maatjie. Maar Adam het nie 'n maatjie nie. Kom ons lees verder hier van vers 21 af. From verse 21 in Genesis 2. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. No shame. As hy, nou het Adam ook 'n maatjie, nee. Adam got his helper. I think they're in love, sê die dodo daar. God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. How did he create Eve? How did he create Eve? He took out his rib, yeah. He took out his rib and formed Eve. Did you know that your ribs are able to grow back when you lose one? Did you know that? So if you lose a rib, you can make yourself a wife and it will grow back. Yeah. No, that's only a joke. Anyway, but fortunately, Adam did not have to live his whole life without a rib. Okay. So the important thing we have to learn here is that the Genesis account here, the first two chapters here in Genesis, tells us the beginning of many things. The beginning of the earth, the beginning of the universe, the beginning of plants and animals and people. It also teaches us about the beginning of marriage. And that marriage is to be between one man and one woman. Yes, Adam and Eve were the first married couple. And because all humans descend from Adam, we are all related. Do you understand? Because Adam and Eva was ons great 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 grandfather and great 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 grandmother. We are all brothers and sisters. Because Adam and Eve is ons groot oupa en ons groot ouma. In Genesis 1, I'm going to read quickly from Genesis 1 verse 27. Sorry, my Bible is a bit demokaris. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is important. Listen very carefully. I'm going to read it again. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is different to all the animals he created. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. So the humans, the man, got an instruction to rule over the animals. And this is important difference between a man and an animal. God made man special. Is anything off? God made man special. So what is the difference between man and animal? Just name me a few things. What's the main difference between animal and the human? Gewete is conscience, yeah? What else? Sorry? Language? Emotion? It's a seal. It's got a soul. A man can compose music. They can build bridges. They can fly airplanes. They can make computers. What does the monkey think about? His next banana. Yeah. So it's important to realize here that we are created in the likeness of God. That's a big difference between being from an ape-like creature. Something else I want to show you here from Genesis 1, verse 29. Then God said, I gave you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and to all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. So, what do you think Mr. T-Rex eat? What do you think he had for lunch? Remember what God just said here? Yeah. Nobody was killed. Fruit, yes. He had pompoen and he had apples and he had watlemoen. Every bird, every animal, every human in that first period of time ate the vegetables or ate grass, ate fruit. Because that's what God gave them. The Bible says that every animal was eating fruits and vegetables. That must include the dinosaurs as well. Now, how does God describe His completed creation? What does He say at the end of everything in verse 31, in Genesis 1, verse 31? What does He say? Wie kan vir ons gou daar lees? God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. Not good, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Okay, let's recap quickly. On day one, verse four, He created the light, and He said it was good. Then in verse 10, He created the sea and dry land, and it was good. He created the plants, in verse 13, it was good. The sun and moon and stars, in verse 21, it was good. The sea and flying creatures, and it was good. Then He created the land animals, and it was good. And at the end, He said everything was very good. His creation was finally complete. He created everything for a reason, and everything was performing its duty perfectly. Adam and Eve had complete fellowship with God and lived in harmony with the rest of creation. It's difficult for us to imagine what such a perfect place would be like, isn't it? Where there's no, just everything is peaceful, everybody's vegetarians. Hey. We certainly don't live in a perfect place today. In the next lesson, the next See, we will learn more about what happened to this perfect place. From the Bible, we learn that all of this took place about 6,000 years ago. The universe is not billions of years old, as some people want to think. We did not evolve from an ape-like creature, and everything did not start with a big bang. These views do not agree with the biblical record. And for us to remember today is that the Bible, God's word for us, is the true history of the universe. If there's one thing you can take home today, is that this eyewitness account of history from God is true, and we can trust this. Kom ons maak ons oë toe. Hemelse Vader, dankie dat ons vanoggend net weer kan besef dat dit wat U vir ons geskryf het in die Bybel, all the words You wrote down for us, is true. You never lie. And You were the only true eyewitness of everything that happened in the past. Thanks for writing this down for us. For recording everything in this book we call the Bible. It's Your book, Your special book for us, for the humans here on earth. And You made us special to worship You, God. You made us special so that we can adore You. Thanks again for this lovely day, and may our community hereafter be a blessing for You. and honor to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.